Tango Tango Papa 1806, December 14, 2013.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you from home. I'm home for vacation. I got home, it would have been about 6 a.m. not yesterday morning. So today was Saturday, Friday. So I got home about 6, probably about 5:30 or 6 a.m. It's about 5:30, I guess, a.m. Friday morning. And so I went to bed after I got home. It was a little bit after 6 when I went to bed. And so I got up later in the morning and went to town and ran a couple of errands that needed to be done and what have you. And then, so I've been home since then. Of course, I have a dental appointment on Monday, a dental cleaning appointment. And then Tuesday, I'm planning on heading down probably to San Antonio, Texas. Have to sort of firm that up and decide, with my parents. I think they're going to meet me there. So I think that's what's going to happen. My mom was kind of reluctant because she said, well, it's been kind of cold. It's like 60 degrees in South Texas, sort of depending. That's considerably warmer than it is here. but I'll meet them probably somewhere and spend maybe about 4 days. And then the plan is for them to come on up here. We'll all just come on up here, and then I go back. I'm scheduled, for some reason, I was scheduled to go back to work on the 26th, but it's actually I got to looking on my calendar, and it's actually the 30th that I'm scheduled to go back to work, December 30th. So, in any case, I made it home. There's snow on the ground here. Of course, we've had cold weather. And so I didn't have any problems making it home. The main roads are all in great shape, not a problem. There's snow on the ground out here. There's still snow in my driveway. It is melting slowly, but it's been cold enough. And then particularly like tonight would be a good example. When I looked at my weather widget earlier, it said that it's supposed to get down to 16 degrees tonight. At least that's what it said earlier when I looked at it. So that's cold enough. That's certainly cold enough to kind of anything that's melting is going to refreeze. And so, yesterday we did have rain. It never did freeze here. They said, well, you might have some freezing rain. Well, it never did freeze, at least around here. And the rain on top of the snow kind of helped make it melt, because it's been kind of melting a little bit anyway. But so at this point, I've got some open patches of ground that I can see, I think, and that's most of that kind of happened yesterday. So it's just kind of slowly melting. You get a lot of snow and then you get cold weather, and the cold weather just doesn't really go away all that much. And and we haven't really had any warm days since then, days that are really you could consider warm. And the snow just ends up kind of lingering. And that's kind of what has happened with that. So I don't know if it'll, if the snow, how long it's going to stay around. We may get more snow on top of that at some point. That's always possible. So you just never know. But I think we're having we've cycled probably into a bit of a cooler winter weather pattern where it's you get more snow and colder weather. And again, as I've said many times, that's why we build shelter. Because otherwise, if we were just out in the weather all the time, unless you're living somewhere in the tropics, if you're out in the weather all the time without some sort of shelter, you're going to die. So, you know, you need to be protected from the elements a good chunk of the time. Otherwise, the elements will kill you. So, anyway, so I've been home a couple of days at this point, and so I really haven't done much of anything. Been watching quite a bit of Netflix. There's just tons of stuff to watch on Netflix, and so I've been watching this show. It's called, it's a series, and I think it was probably from the mid-2000s, and I don't even think I ever heard of it until I found it on Netflix. It's called The 4400, and apparently I think it might have been on USA Network, I'm not really sure, but whatever network was on, they had four seasons of it, and before they were, they had it, complete with the cliffhangers and all that, where it's an ongoing sort of serialized show. And so they ended the fourth season, of course, with a cliffhanger, and then they proceeded to cancel it. And so they canceled it. So there was no, even though you had this storyline, sort of an arcing storyline, and you had these first four seasons, whichever network it was canceled the series, and that was the end of it. And that's really unfortunate that, but this is actually, I'd never heard of it before, and it's actually quite a good show. So there's like 45 episodes on Netflix, and I know that, that it's not going to have a resolution, it's just going to end with the 45th episode, and that's it. I think they broadcasted the 45th episode probably in 2008, and so that's going to be it. So I've watched 43 of them so far, so I got two more to go. So I've been sort of binging on that, watching those, kind of back to back on Netflix. And then there's this other series that's a Netflix original series that I've talked about before. It's called Lilyhammer, as in Lilyhammer, Norway. And so they had this, that's made, with Netflix in conjunction with this Norwegian television network. So they had, they've had the first series on there, the first season on there for, there's like 8 or 10 episodes from the first season of this Lilyhammer show. They've had that on Netflix for a while now. And I just received an email notification today that they've added season 2. So season 2 is now available. So we've got 8 or 10 new episodes of that to sort of watch if I want to. And of course, I never really got into Lost, the Lost TV show. That, of course, that went on for like 7 years. I watched an episode here or there. And so if I really was looking, to watch a series like that where I could just watch, episode after episode, I'd probably dig that out and stream those from somewhere. I don't know if all the episodes of that are available on Netflix or not. I'm assuming at least part of them are. I don't know. Maybe all of them for all I know, but I may, if I become desperate for something to watch like that, then I've got that. But as I say, I've watched a few episodes of that over the years, but not that much. So most of the stuff is just completely, I don't really know the characters or, I don't really know a whole lot about the show, other than just what I kind of heard people talk about. So I could watch that if I ever ran out of stuff to watch. But there's all these documentaries. Netflix is constantly adding new stuff all the time. So there, you know, there's plenty of stuff to sort of watch. The reason I like these, you know, the sort of shows like this show called that I talked about just now called The 4400. It's sort of a you know, it's got science fiction elements to it, and it's sort of a drama to a certain extent. But it's also, a lot of these themes that they use in good science fiction, if it's the acting is really what makes the stuff work, you can have completely preposterous story, you know, things to, you know, almost comic book type stuff for the story. And that's basically what this is. It's almost like comic book stuff, but as far as the story goes. But if you make the acting good, it doesn't matter. And that's usually why Star Trek worked so well, especially the original series. You look at that now today, and the acting really holds up. The storylines are obviously preposterous, and but it's all about the acting and the ideas in those storylines. And so that, you know, sometimes, you know, you can, it's sort of entertaining to watch these things, but there are also some interesting ideas. They do good shows like this explore some interesting ideas as far as, you know, identity, where does identity come from, so on and so forth. They explore those ideas, but they put it in a kind of a non-threatening context, you know, like some, you know, space alien or, you know, some other, although 4400 really isn't about space aliens at all. It's about the future, the people of the future sort of controlling, you know, fighting a war through the present, you know, which is kind of an interesting idea. You know, but it's an interesting idea, but if you just kind of modify the elements of the story a little bit, then you can understand that they're really using, you know, these kind of preposterous storylines to, they're sort of using those as proxies for real social issues and real issues of right and wrong and so on and so forth. And so it's interesting, you know, you can run into some interesting ideas that way. You know, if they're really well-produced series, usually have some interesting stuff in them, you know, to make, you know, and you can give you a little thing, kind of a meaty thing to think about here and there, little meaty nuggets of stuff here and there to think about. So it's unfortunate that they simply canceled it. I think the future of series, if television as it's currently constructed, the networks, if they can't make drama based on advertising because they don't feel not enough people are watching the advertising, then you have to come up with different models in order to sustain the series. You know, I'm willing to pay for stuff. If the stuff is good, I'm willing to pay a reasonable price for it, you know, one way or another, whether it's, you know, I'm buying it, as in the case of Netflix, I subscribe, and so therefore Netflix itself is, besides having all of, you know, the third-party stuff, Netflix is making its own original stuff as well. I think that's great. And I think that's, I have no problem with them, you know, part of my subscription fee going to that. That's great, because they've made a number of original series now, and they're actually, I think there was a Grammy thing the other day, a Grammy Award ceremony, and Netflix was nominated for more Grammy stuff than the networks were. Either not, I don't know about the, I don't know how many awards they won. I'm sure they won awards as well. So they're making some really good stuff. And, you know, in this case, it's just Netflix itself is, you know, sometimes they do it in conjunction with, you know, like this Lilyhammer that I mentioned is done in conjunction with this Norwegian television network. But in other cases, Netflix is just commissioning these series all on its own. And they're very good. The ones I've watched so far have been excellent. So that may be a new model, but you know, the old model where they make you watch at the appropriate time, you turn it on and you watch it so that you have to watch the, you know, the 17 or 18 minutes worth of ads that they have sprinkled in it. That doesn't necessarily work. And if that doesn't work for drama, and then they decide to cancel it, then, you know, it's, you know, go elsewhere, you know, because the stuff, I think there's more movies, there's more content that's being made today than ever before, and not all of it's great. Some of it's better than other stuff. You know, you always have the really good stuff, and then you have a lot more of the stuff is kind of mediocre, and not everything appeals to everyone. One person can like something, and the other person has, you know, just thinks it doesn't see anything in it and doesn't want to waste their time watching it. So we have more choice than ever before, and I think that you know, there are people that are lamenting the fact that the old model is breaking. The advertiser supported stuff the way it's been traditionally done. The networks are still losing viewer numbers. So it just has to change. And you know, in the meantime, you know, it's unfortunate that shows like this 4400. Again, I'd never heard of it, because I just don't watch that much television, and certainly I've, you know, and since then I've gotten rid of my DVR. I still had it in, you know, in 2008 I had one, but I just wasn't aware of this show. So when it was actually on, it's unfortunate that they canceled it, they killed it, and then, you know, there's no resolution to it. That's really unfortunate, but I guess it kind of got caught in the crosshairs. You know, the model has been breaking for a long time as far as this. It's not just an immediate thing. It's been kind of breaking over a period of time where there just aren't maybe the audiences are too fragmented and people just aren't watching. Not enough people are watching, or they won't, or they're trying to DVR after the fact. So, but it's all kind of moving to streaming, and I have no problem at all just streaming the content. I'll pay for stuff. I don't mind paying for stuff, but I'm very selective about what I actually will pay for. And in the case of cable television or satellite television, to get just the channels that you want, they make you take all this other crap. It's affirmative. If it's, you know, it's sort of like affirmative action for crap. You pay hundreds of, you know, you pay all these extra tens of dollars, you know, and you end up with a cable or satellite bill over $100, and you're paying for all this other stuff. You're paying for stuff you never watch, and that you never will watch. And so I have no, you know, the solution to that is to just jettison all of it and move to a streaming service like Netflix, or, you know, and there's other ones as well. Move to streaming services and pay for just what you want, and, you know, something that really more matches what you're after, and the heck with the rest of it. You know, the rest of it, if someone wants to pay for, you know, those extra channels that I never watched, someone wants to watch those, have at it. Someone, you know, wants to pay for content. You know, we've got all kinds of different content, more content than ever. And so therefore there's more choice than ever. So, you know, you want to watch something or other, watch it. You know, it may be something that I have no use for, and vice versa. So, but, service like Netflix, and you know, and you've got the Amazon streaming, and then the Hulu Plus, which I really haven't. I might check that out at some point. Now I've not looked at Hulu for a long time, and I've never experimented with, you know, with the trial for Hulu Plus, so I don't really know what shows are on there. I may have to go kind of looking around, because there may be other ones besides, you know, the 4400. I don't know if there's any of them that are like that, that either are in progress right now or have been. You know, that there are other ones. There might be other ones that are sort of, you know, kind of along those lines, exploring similar sorts of ideas. You know, about a year ago, I watched all those episodes of Fringe. There was this TV show called Fringe, which is now defunct. But at least they knew that it was going to end, and they were able to resolve it. I think there's like a total of 105 episodes, and it actually came to a resolution. So it actually, which is nice, that it was able to actually end without just, you know, you have this arcing storyline, and then all of a sudden it just goes off the cliff, you know, like with this 4400 episode or a series. So it's nice if they can say, well, you know, here we know that it doesn't have enough viewers, but they were nice enough to allow them to go ahead and produce, I think like 8 more episodes. You know, whenever they decided that it didn't have enough viewers, they were nice enough to allow them to produce about 8 more episodes to kind of bring it to an end, you know, and which they did, and it was nice. And there's nothing profound about that show, but again, it's sort of good science fiction explores, you know, it explores is the same old ideas that sort of plague human beings, but we won't look at them. But it sort of puts it in a, you know, it kind of tricks you because it puts it into a different context. It can kind of put it in a different context, and you know, it's not as threatening then to sort of think about it, you know, in these other contexts, you know, and it's not quite as threatening to people's egos sometimes, you know, and that's so that, but Star Trek was really good, probably one of the things that really started this, you know, Gene Roddenberry really sort of pioneered that, in a sense, at least for television. So anyway, I've got a thing from Facebook. Mark Thompson posted this thing on Facebook, sent me a message. It says, "Hi Tom, I was listening to your podcast about China. I completely agree with cultural differences. I visited Zhongshan, west of Hong Kong, for business. The place was eye-opening, to say the least. From my point of view, it was an incredible environmental disaster on a scale not found in America. My hotel, the most excellent in the area, smelled like a dead body, and I had to shoo fruit flies from my breakfast. Buildings with smokestacks packed horizon to horizon for hours of driving. The sheer vastness of manufacturing factories is decades ahead of the U.S., which was disconcerting, but it was impressive as well. Anything, and I mean anything, can be made there in tremendous bulk for cheap. The seaports, cities were, or the seaports were cities of themselves. I saw dozens upon dozens of giant apartment complexes, some full and some empty, each in and of themselves dwarfed the entire Las Vegas Strip. What was really interesting was passing from third world China through a checkpoint, entering Shenzhen. Shenzhen is where the major electronics products are manufactured, such as iPhones and iPads. There was a large sign at the checkpoint reading, "Entering Special Economic Zone." After passing, you're in Disney World. Disaster is nowhere, and the city is strikingly beautiful. The hotel was palatial, as seeming to wait for Napoleon and Steve Jobs' arrival. It makes Manhattan look like nothing. You can easily tell the entire city, its architecture, its plants, its polished marble and glass, its Hawaii-like beaches, its hospitality provisions are specifically prepared to attract the great CEOs and princes of the world. It's important to look past this to do business, as the business intellect is nearly the same as in the third world regions. I visited Hong Kong and Taiwan as well. Those places were much more comforting. And he sent me a link to his photos that he took photos and he posted them on Facebook. And, you know, he's got some interesting photos there. So, but that's interesting. You never really know what a place is like unless, you know, you can go there yourself, or you have someone that you can relate to, that, you know, they go and then you can kind of trust their impressions. But see, this is the type of thing that what he's talking about here. This is the type of thing you would never realize that, from one of these TV shows or a news show. They're not really going to give you these kind of distinctions for whatever reason. That maybe they don't think the distinctions are important. It sounds pretty incredible. And I think it just kind of goes to point out, China is a pretty incredible, as it exists today, is a pretty incredible place. You know, and parts of it might be kind of dirty, you know, and be polluted and what have you. But I think it would still be quite an interesting place to visit, you know, either on business or just to go play tourist. If you had the time to do that, the time and the money to do that, it sounds like it would be a very interesting place to go, you know, just to kind of experience. So, anyway, so thank you, Mark, for that. I really appreciate that. So I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off and probably go back to watching more Netflix. I'm binging on this stuff right now. Oh, well, I don't watch that much television. And, I enjoy watching it, you know, and at least, I don't know, it's on my terms, you know, so I can do it when I want to, sort of where I want to, when I want to, and I may go days and sometimes weeks without watching anything, but it's there when I want it, and that's what I really like. It's not like I have to get in front of the television, oh, here's the remote control, and you flip through these 500 channels of nothing, you know, and that those days are gone for me, you know, and they can, I know some people still do that, but they're certainly, you know, that's something that I haven't done it now for, flip through channels for a number of years. And the only time I might do that's in a motel room or whatever. And, that's fairly rare. So, this kind of thing is on the way out, you know, and the new thing is, you know, this is streaming, and it's not new, but it's continuing to become more and more widespread. And then at some point it's like, well, how'd this happen? Everybody's got Netflix. Well, how did that happen? Everybody's streaming stuff. How did that happen? Well, it didn't happen overnight. It happened gradually. But these things sort of continue to permeate slowly, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, it happened somehow. It happened overnight. Well, it didn't. You know, and I think that the conventional network stuff that's being, you know, network that's the broadcast stuff, as well as what goes over cable or satellite, I think that you know, while it's not going to go away, I think that those models, unless they drastically change, those models are sort of in trouble. So, anyhow, hope everyone is having a great weekend so far, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.